Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord is the proclamation of the church. In fact, that proclamation, Jesus is Lord, is what unites us as all Christians, even for those outside of the Orthodox faith. For every Christian denomination, that confession, that proclamation, Jesus is Lord, is what binds us together in the faith, is what separates us from other religions. When I was growing up in the 70s, especially during the charismatic renewal movement that was taking place, Jesus is Lord was almost a catchphrase, a slogan that people would place on their bumper stickers, would put out on lawn placards, and so forth. Ministries rose up that even used the name Jesus is Lord Ministries. But while we have this as a common confession, Jesus is Lord, how do we reconcile this, not only in the face of denominational differences, but how do we reconcile this as we see and have witnessed throughout history those who proclaim Jesus as Lord and carrying out acts of lawlessness, of even atrocities? We see, for instance, the Christian Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, a group who has perpetrated racist acts and hatred and even violence and murder, and under the banner of Jesus as Lord. We see under the banner of Jesus as Lord ministries by charlatans who have built financial empires exploiting some of the most naive and vulnerable of the people and extracting their money and their wealth. We see under the banner of Jesus as Lord great atrocities and acts that besmirch the name of Jesus. So how do we get at the heart of this confession of faith, of Jesus as Lord? How do we establish the reality, the truth, the essence of what we proclaim as people living the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in this morning's epistle lesson from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, his first epistles to the Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 2, he writes, "You know that you were Gentiles," that is, not just non-Jewish people, but Gentiles in the sense that you know you were secular people outside of the church. "You know you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." Now, Paul here is talking about not only the idolatry of a secular lifestyle in which we can set all kinds of idols before us in our own acts of worship, whether that be sports or material wealth or whatever other kinds of idols that we might have worshipped in our secular life. But Paul is also referring to the idea that there are those who have religious fervor, who may seem to be pious people, following after religions and idols, religions that can produce ecstatic experiences, that can produce even miracles. We see this even in the Eastern mysticism and Buddhism. But Paul is trying to say that despite these things, despite the fact that there are religions that are deceived by demonic spirits, that may even through demonic powers produce supernatural events, he's saying, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now we've all seen, as I've just discussed, examples of people who say Jesus is Lord, and yet their life, the fruits of their lives, do not bear witness to that. So what Paul is presenting here is a picture of what a true Christian is about what true Christianity manifests. He says, there are diversity of gifts, that is, charisms from the Greek, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The word activities here that Paul uses is from the Greek word diakonia, from which we get the word the diaconate, or the order of deacons, those who serve. So another way of rendering this translation is those who are involved, generically speaking, in the work of Christian service, of serving. We may not all be ordained deacons in the formal sense of the term, but we are involved through the Spirit, through the charisms of the church, in service, in ministry, not only to those of our local congregation, but also to the world. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We are given gifts. We are given these supernatural charisms, not for the exaltation of ourselves, but for the profit of all. But he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So Paul is giving not an exhaustive list of the gifts of the Spirit, but he's saying he's using these particular gifts, these charisms, as examples of the Spirit being manifest, being operative in our lives, in the service and ministry of the church and the people of God. By the way, in coming into Holy Orthodoxy, someone once said, "Well, you know, how are you giving up, you know, the charismatic fervor that you had in the charismatic Episcopal Church?" And one of the things I said is that Orthodoxy manifests in the most fullest sense the charismatic gifts that God has given us. You see, we have not all been given each individual gifts. But being knit together in the body of Christ, we proclaim Jesus as Lord through the operations, through the manifestations, through the administrations, that is, the service of these ministries and gifts, so that together, as a body of believers, we not only manifest these gifts, but we do so in making visible to the world the proclamation of our confession that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a religious confession. But it is the manifest and visible reality of the witness of the church in ministry to those who are poor, to the disfranchised, to the lost, to the least, to the lonely. But in receiving these gifts, it is always the temptation of the people of God to become pharisaical. That is, to become self-righteous. To have a sense of judgment and condemnation for those who are outside of the faith. And so we are presented with Jesus, by Jesus in Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter this morning, of this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, or the publican. And in verse 9 of Luke 18, is recorded. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, for those hearing this parable, they would have immediately recognized the contrast, the stark contrast. The Pharisees being esteemed as the pious, religious rulers who had devoted themselves to a life of study of the law and of practicing the law, of interpreting the law. In contrast to the publican, to the tax collector, who was among the most hated and despised by the people of Israel. Oftentimes they were Jews who had been lured to this profession through the imperial government, through the Roman Empire, to collect taxes. And the people of Israel were not unlike the American people who despised taxes. So there was this contrast, this stark contrast. And Jesus said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now notice that Jesus said he prayed thus with himself. The implication being, he really wasn't praying to God. He was praying as a show. He was praying to himself as showmanship here, saying, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We have been called to the church to fast, to tithe. And yet, what separates us from the Pharisees, from Pharisaical attitudes? Well, Jesus continues, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the basis. The prayer of this publican is the basis of our Orthodox spirituality. It's the basis of the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, who is God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Even the posture of his prayer, not approaching the altar of sacrifice, but standing afar off, recognizing his own sinfulness, recognizing his own unworthiness, not even putting his eyes toward heaven, but looking downward and beating his breast from the depths of his own soul, acknowledging his own standing before God. He cries out for the mercy, for the healing of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, to declare, to make the profession that Jesus is Lord, is not only to do so through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, but to truly say and proclaim Jesus is Lord in the very depths of our heart and soul is in of itself a very act of humility and contrition and acknowledging before God our own brokenness, the reality that we have fallen short, far short, of the glory of God, and that we rely daily upon His mercies, which are new each morning. So we join the prayer of the publican in saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. To proclaim Jesus as Lord is not to do so for only our salvation, but is to live and manifest that proclamation of Jesus as Lord through the gifts, through the charisms of the Spirit, in order that we might redeem the world. You see, under that banner of Jesus as Lord, in much of evangelical and fundamentalist Christianity, is the tendency to be separatist. And so we have a whole pop culture of Christian music, a whole pop culture of Christian games and toys, Christian Barbies, I understand that they create. And we send our kids to Christian schools. And there's nothing wrong in of itself of those things. But God has not called us out of the world. You know, we don't, as Orthodox Christians, hold to the doctrine of the rapture. Rather, God has placed us in the world that we might redeem the world. That the works of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit's working through us, enable us with not only our mouths, but with our heart and our lives, in proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. On August the 1st, the day that Zach Jensen had his near-fatal accident on the zip line in Buckystown, was the day that the church commemorated the great Russian saint, Saint Seraphim of Sarov. And Saint Seraphim proclaimed this. This was a man who was a monastic, but nonetheless he understood this reality. Who said, Saint Seraphim of Sarov said, "Acquire a peaceful spirit, and 1,000 around you will be saved." In other words, what Saint Seraphim of Sarov was saying was, acquire a spirit of peace, acquire a justification before God through your own personal self-examination, but before coming to God and acknowledging and bewailing our own manifold sins and wickednesses, we receive the mercy and grace of God. We are transformed into His image, and by God's grace, we move into His likeness. This is what Saint Seraphim of Sarov means by a spirit of peace. But you see, we have not been called to a life of separatism. No, we don't. We're not citizens of this world. But we have been called into the world as ambassadors, as missioners, even into the darkest corners of the world, that we may proclaim with our lives that Jesus is Lord. Yesterday was a day that Pam and I had the opportunity for a long, long overdue day together. After quite a few weeks of not only entertaining guests and company and family and the busyness of our lives. And it was a great opportunity, because yesterday was one Saturday that we did not have a scheduled catechism class. And a week earlier, I bumped into an old high school classmate of mine that I had not seen in over 33 years. And she had invited us to a motorcycle benefit ride that they were hosting yesterday. The ride, called Terry's Ride, was a benefit and as a memorial to a young man named Terry Koblenz, who had graduated from Catoctin High School and who just a little over a year ago was very tragically killed in an automobile accident up on the mountain near Cascade. And so a group of his friends, beginning last year, had organized this ride in order to raise money for charitable causes. And so, being such a beautiful day, Pam and I decided that we would do the ride. And so we went up to the Blue Ridge Sportsmen's Association Club up outside of Fairfield to register. And there was quite a few riders at this event. And the event, which was sponsored in part by the American Legion Riders, took us on nearly a 100-mile ride, stopping at five different places, mostly American Legions throughout the area, stopping in Emmitsburg at the American Legion in Emmitsburg, and then in Woodsboro and Thurmont, up into Hagerstown, and finally over into Waynesboro, and then ending the ride in Cascade. But throughout the course of the ride, and as we had these various stops, I began to realize that some of the people that we were with were quite some characters. And among those, we saw people who had lots of tattoos and body piercings, who guzzled beer, who smoked cigarettes, and whose language sometimes was a little coarse and profane. But nonetheless, we had the opportunity to be among these people whom God loves. And at one of the stops, I got to meet a man about our age. And as we began to talk, I realized that he grew up down near Catoctin United Methodist Church on Kelly Store Road. And I said, well, you might remember my father, Reverend Ken Hamrick, who used to pastor there. And his face lit up and he said, well, I knew your dad very well. I remember when he used to substitute teach at the high school. And so this man began to open up to me and talk to me about what an influence, not only was an influence my dad was, but how his own priest at the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church in Thurmont had been such an influence in his life. And one of the things he said was, what I appreciated about your dad, but also my priest, was that they were just such real people. They knew how to relate and connect and be with people. And I just, my priest especially, I appreciated him. He was just a real human being. And I asked him, I said, are you still going to church? And he said, no, I haven't been to church, or at least Our Lady of Mount Carmel, since my mom passed away shortly after high school. And as he sat and talked to me, he began to almost well up and telling me and opening up to some of the pain of his life about how he had been married and had two daughters and how his wife had divorced him and how now his grown daughters, having given him grandchildren, do not allow him to see his granddaughters. And so as I sat there and listened to him opening up in his pain, I said to him, I said, you know, there's another person that you might not expect is pretty real before you now. I said, I'm an Orthodox priest. And he just got surprised and looking at me, and he said, really? And I began to tell him about our church here at St. John the Baptist. And knowing that he wasn't attending church anywhere, I invited him to come. And he was very grateful for that invitation. And I don't know whether this man will ever step through the doors of this church or not. I pray that one day he will. I pray that one day he will be reunited to the church in Christ. But one of the things that it afforded was an opportunity to go among the people whom God has redeemed. And I'm not advocating necessarily that you go hang out with bikers and biker bars. But what I am saying is that if we are the church, then we need to take the church to the people. We need to be real people who proclaim with our lives that Jesus is Lord. Not standing in self-righteous condemnation and judgment of those who don't live their lives in accordance with our own sense of piety, but seeing the image of God in every single tattooed and pierced human being, knowing that Christ, if he lived here, would probably be living and dwelling among them. Jesus, I got to tell you, which I told this man yesterday, would probably have been hanging out at these biker rallies also. Jesus is Lord is not only a confession that we make, but with humility before God, acknowledging our own need for salvation and mercy and forgiveness. We receive that divine gift, that grace of the Holy Spirit, and we make manifest the church in our very lives and proclaiming to the world that Jesus is Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.